Every mitzvah we do has the purpose, ultimately, of connecting us to Hashem and to transforming us into becoming more godly people. Therefore, it's not just an issue of Shmiya Lekol Hashem, listening to the voice of God and obeying. But what's required of us is a Shmiya Bekol Hashem, listening into the voice of Hashem. What are all these commandments trying to teach me? What is the purpose? What is the agenda? What is the effect of all these mitzvahs on our life? Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah, scolded the Jewish people for mechanically observing the Torah. He said they observed the Torah command by command, line by line, a little here, a little there. He berates them for observing the Torah mechanically on autopilot with their lips and their mouths. They honor me, but their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment of men learned by rote. Just jumping through the hoops, just observing the Torah, but not really listening deeply to the Torah. The Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us on Daf Lamed that the destruction of the temple came about because the Jewish people followed the Torah. And the Gemara asks incredulously, the temple was destroyed because we followed the Torah? The Gemara says, yes. They kept the Torah, but they didn't live lifnim mishuras hadin. They didn't go beyond the letter of the law. It was merely an exercise in jumping through the hoops without thinking about what is the Torah trying to tell me. How do I integrate every word of the Torah and every mitzvah into a holistic life of connecting to Hashem and connecting to what my soul really is? A fourth level. You all know there's a very sweet series of books called Small Miracles, written by two Jewish women from Brooklyn. They describe many of our events in life as small miracles because it is God tapping us on the shoulder, whispering into our ear. The Abbasur of Nassim tells us that one day Rabbi Akiva happened to pass by a flowing stream of water, and he sees how this water ultimately was able to erode a hole through a stone. And he saw this and he heard the message that it was sending him. Thousands of people walked by this same scene and didn't hear anything. And Rabbi Akiva hears the message. It's just like this soft water is able to penetrate this hard stone. So the words of the Torah described as fire can probably penetrate my heart. And he began a life that led him to becoming one of the Gedolei Yisrael. The Chavetz Chaim, whenever he heard thunder, would say to himself, "Vas vil bepata?" It wasn't just a noise. He assumed that God was speaking to him. The Gemara in Bracha says that thunder was only given to remove the crookedness from our hearts. And therefore, whenever the Chavetz Chaim heard thunder, he assumed that there was a reason he had to hear it. The Sefer Tuvcha Yobiu tells an amazing story about a young Talmud scholar in Yerushalayim who had to find a very difficult book. It wasn't in most shuls or libraries. He went to a special library in Jerusalem. He did a lot of searching there for the book he was trying to find. And in the middle of his search, he had brought some lunch with him. He sat down, he ate his lunch, and then he benched with a tremendous amount of fervor and loud. The librarian, who happened to overhear him, came over. And she said, "You know what? I'm no longer religious. But I know that you made a mistake in the benching. Because in the benching, we say, velo nikalem, we should not be embarrassed, we should not be ashamed or humiliated. But you added the words, velo nikashel, and we should not stumble." And she said, "I remember benching when I was a kid. Those words are not in the Birchat Hamazon." And he said, "You know what? I've always been saying it like that. I'm sure that there's actually a version that has it like that. I'm going to find it. I'll send it to you." He spent weeks and weeks and weeks after that visit to the library looking all over Jerusalem to find a version of a siddur or a bencher where it has those two extra words, veloni kashel. And finally, in an old siddur, in the Haggadah Shel Pesach of that Siddur, he found that version of the benching. He copied it, photostated this page, and then he underlined those two words in red and circled it in red. He didn't remember the name of this librarian, but he sent it, care of, attention, the woman, the librarian, who was working in such and such a day, at such and such an hour, sent it off and really never thought of it anymore. Many months later, he receives an invitation to a wedding. He doesn't recognize any of the names on the invitation. He figured he's not going to even bother going. It just so happens that on the night of the wedding, it happens that he happens to be right in that area. He figures he'll pop in to see if he recognizes anyone at the wedding. He walks in. He doesn't recognize anybody. He's about to leave, and someone comes over and asks him who he is, introduces himself, and they say, oh, the Kala would like to speak with you, I'm sure. He walks over to the Kala, and she says to him, you don't recognize me, do you? He says, no, I don't. He says, I want to tell you, you're the most important guest at this wedding. If it wasn't for you, there wouldn't be a wedding. And she tells him her story. She says that at the time I met you in the library, and I told you you had said the benching incorrectly, I was very seriously involved with a non-Jewish man. And we were thinking of getting married. And yet, even though I was no longer religious, I felt conflicted. I was torn inside. But my partner was tired of waiting. And he had finally given me an ultimatum. If you don't finally tell me we're going to get married by a certain date, then it's all finished. And she said that I was torn up inside. I didn't know what to do. I came to work that day. And there on my desk is this letter from you. She said, I subsequently found out that the letter had arrived weeks earlier, but it was bouncing around from one room to the other in the library until finally, on that day, it arrives on her desk. And I opened up that letter, and my eyes are drawn to those two words that you underlined and circled in red, Veloni Kashel, do not stumble. And she screamed out, hey, I'm a Jewish woman! How could I stumble with this terrible sin of intermarriage? She said, I called off our plans. I broke off the relationship. She said, one thing led to another. One mitzvah led to another. I ended up doing tshuva. And she says, Baruch Hashem, you see what happened tonight? I'm marrying a Ben Torah. She heard the message in those two very easily missed words. A fifth level. God sometimes speaks to us in what we see. The Baal Shem Tov taught that when you see someone doing something wrong, God brought this to you. It's not an accident that you happen to see someone doing an Avera. And it should remind you of your own faults. The Baal Shem Tov says that if you see someone doing an Avera, or even if you hear people speaking about a particular Avera, he says that you should assume that at least there's a trace of that Avera, that sin, in you as well. Everything you see is a message from God. And finally, a sixth level. A little bit more difficult to hear. The Gemara in Avos, the Mishnah in Avos, the sixth chapter, says that every single day, a bas kol, a heavenly voice, issues forth from Har Chorev, from Mount Sinai, and it screams out, woe to the people because of their insults to the Torah. Every day, we're told, this heavenly voice comes out from Har Sinai. The Baal Shem Tov asked, what is the purpose of this bas kol today if no one hears it? And he says, actually, whenever you have a momentary thought, a flash of conscience, that in some way you should improve, in some way you should become more spiritual, it's because at that moment, your soul, your neshama, heard that bas kol that came out from Har Sinai. Your ears didn't necessarily hear it, but on a spiritual level, you were able to hear that message. Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin, in his Tzidkas HaTzadik, says that God's way of calling out to us is to implant in our mind every day thoughts of yearning for God. We simply need to become a little bit more attentive to these messages to be able to hear them. We're told in the 37th chapter of Bereishis that the brothers wanted to kill Joseph. They wanted to kill him and just tell their father that a wild beast had eaten him. After this plan, the Torah tells us, Vayishma Reuven Vayatzilehu Miyadam. Reuven heard and he saved Joseph from their hands. And Reuven said, no, we shouldn't kill him. Let's just throw him into a pit. And the Torah tells us that Reuven's plan was to later return and to save Joseph out of the pit. What is it that Reuven heard? Vayishma Reuven. No one spoke to him. Is it possible that he heard the voice of Hashem? That he heard the voice of Hashem saying, killing your brother? It's impossible. So Reuven heard, and he acted. The Baal Shem Tov says that after davening, when we finish speaking to Hashem, we should sit quietly for a few minutes to try and hear maybe what Hashem is speaking to us. God will sometimes send us thoughts, and we can pick them up if we listen carefully. I want to just conclude by asking us ourselves, why do we have sometimes such a difficult time hearing Hashem? Why do we sometimes have a difficult time tuning into the messages that Hashem is sending us? We're told that prior to the seventh plague in Egypt, prior to the plague of hail, Pharaoh and Egypt are warned by Moshe. And the Torah tells us that everyone that feared the word of Hashem brought their livestock and their possessions into their homes to protect them from the hail. But everyone who did not fear the word of Hashem didn't take in their stuff, and their stuff was destroyed in the plague of hail. The Medrash said, who is it? Who is the one that feared the word of Hashem? That was Eov. And who was the one that didn't fear the word of Hashem? The Medrash says that was Bilam. How could Bilam have been so thick? Seven plagues! There's always been a track record. Every time Moshe and Aaron predict something's going to happen, it comes! The blood, the frogs, the lice, the wild beasts. There's already plagues upon plagues. At least be a little bit cautious, Bilam. Bring your stuff in case the hail comes. How could he have been so thick? We're told that really Bilam was someone who bechlal never paid attention. We know that when he was off on his mission to try to curse the Jewish people, and his donkey, who had always served him properly for years, stopped dead in its tracks and freezes. Bilam doesn't understand that really something is going on here, unusual. And he starts to beat up on his donkey. And the donkey finally turns around and says to him, what are you doing to me? Haven't I always served you properly for so many years? And even after this incredibly overt sign, Bilam still doesn't get it. He still doesn't realize that Hashem doesn't want him to curse the Jewish people. And he proceeds in his mission, in his agenda. Bilam is someone who just doesn't get it. The Chafetz Chaim tells us that in the entire story of Bilam, there is not one break, not one paragraph. It's just straight text. Usually you look at a portion of Torah, there are breaks, sentence breaks, paragraph breaks. The Gemara tells us that the breaks in the Torah were put there in order to let us think, pause, listen, hear. And the whole story of Bilam is straight. There's not one break. And the Chafetz Chaim says the reason is because Bilam is someone that never stopped to think. He never paused. He never bothered to try to listen. The Ramchal, in his Mesilas Yesharim, tells us that the strategy of the Yetzer Hara to keep us from really connecting to Hashem and improving spiritually was a strategy stolen from Paro. In Mitzrayim, Paro did not want the Jewish people to think too much about their situation in life. And his tactic, Tichbad ha'avodah al ha'anashim, increase the workload on the people. Keep them busy. Keep them working. And if you're busy, and you're working, and you're always rushing, and you're always in a hurry, and you're always busy, you will never have time to think, and reflect, and meditate, and pause to listen to the voice of Hashem. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that we shouldn't take big steps. Shouldn't take a pasia gasa, a big, big step. And if we do, we're told by the Gemara that our eyesight can be dimmed by 1/500th. And the Gemara says that the remedy, the antidote to this kind of visual problem is making Kiddush and Havdalah. Rabbi Zev Leff explained that the person who is always taking big steps is someone who's always in a rush, always rushing, always in a hurry, doesn't have time to sit, to think, to reflect, to pause, to listen. And therefore his vision is affected. Not his visual sight, but the way he perceives life. It's going to be affected. The way we're able to perceive life and listen properly to Hashem's messages will be affected if we're always running, if we're always busy. The remedy, the Gemara says, is Kiddush and Havdalah. Kiddush and Havdalah are moments that mark distinctions. They're moments where we have to notice there's a difference now. It's no longer Chol, it's no longer the weekday, it's Shabbos now, it's different. Havdalah, I begin to realize it's no longer Shabbos, I'm going into the Vach, it's now the week. Being able to say Havdalah and Kiddush is the ability to make distinctions, to be able to notice things, to be able to observe them, to be able to take the time to really think about what we're doing. Tisha B'Av started over 3,000 years ago when our ancestors didn't listen carefully enough to what Hashem was trying to tell them. He was saying, I love you, I care about you, I'll do everything for you. I'll do everything for you. And he did everything for them. And they got to the border of the Promised Land and they had not really fully integrated that idea into their minds. And they had to spend 40 years in the desert, and we've now spent thousands of years in Golus. Tisha B'Av is a day that's given over to thinking about our lives, and to thinking about whether we really take the time during our busiest schedules to be attentive to the messages of Hashem, to listen to Hashem in all the different ways that He speaks to us. In Yirtzeh Hashem, God willing, if we go through this transformation on Tisha B'Av and begin to really integrate into our lives the messages that God is constantly sending, this transformation will transform us as individuals, us as a nation, so that we will soon merit the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Menhera V'Yameinu, and the Bias Goel Tzidkenu.